1344, accept the City of Portland 2018 Federal Legislative Agenda. 1345, accept the report on the City of Portland 2018 State Legislative Agenda.
Colleagues, on November 7th, we held a work session with the Office of Government Relations to review and discuss drafts of the City of Portland's 2018 Federal Legislative Agenda and the 2018 State Legislative Agenda. I understand staff has submitted a revised substitute report on the federal agenda. So, colleagues, I'd like to make a motion to consider the substitute report on the City of Portland 2018 Federal Legislative Agenda. Commissioner Fish seconds.
The substitute.
Second.
So we're going to vote on it here. Just having
We're going to vote on it, but we're going to give Carla just a second to get back to her spot. Thank you, Carla. Greetings. Carla, please call the roll on the substitute.
Udaley?
Aye.
Fritz?
This is just to put it on the table. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The substitute is now on the table. And we will be also discussing our federal legislative agenda in quick succession. As the current Congress moves into its second year, it's more important than ever that the City of Portland defend and advance its interests. As we've seen from the Congressional Tax Plan and recent EPA announcements regarding the prioritization of Superfund sites, Congress and the current presidential administration are pivotal in our ability to address community priorities like investing in affordable housing and moving forward with the Portland Harbor cleanup. The administration and the leadership in Congress have made it clear with this tax bill that their priorities are not supporting working middle-class Americans. Additionally, it's clear that local government is going to need to further step up as the federal government retreats from addressing issues like affordable housing and mental health services at the community level. Lastly, as the EPA has issued a list prioritizing the Portland Harbor Superfund site, we'll be working closely with other interested parties to make sure that this process does indeed move forward. And Commissioner Fish and my Chief of Staff, Maurice Henderson, had an opportunity to meet with them this morning, and I'll let him report out as he sees fit. The state legislative agenda focuses on what I believe are the most pressing issues for the short session. That's continuing our efforts to promote affordable and stable housing. In particular, the state constitutional amendment that will allow local governments to leverage bond proceeds with the funds from other community partners continues to be important. I'm obviously very supportive of the clean energy jobs legislation to reduce carbon emissions, and I know we had a long conversation about that here. Climate change is very real, and Oregon needs to continue to be leading on this front. At the same time, we're going to have to continue to reduce emissions of air toxins to protect public health. And finally, I think it's important that we remove statutory barriers which prevent us from effectively coordinating with ODOT to promote public safety, health, and livability on these issues. So with this, I will turn it over to Elizabeth Edwards, who is our government relations director. We also have Nils Tilstrom here from the Office of Government Relations, and Dan Eisenbeis is here as well. The three musketeers. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mayor. Commissioners, appreciate the introduction. And since you've already announced who we are, I'll kick it off. We're very pleased to be here today to present the 2018 federal and state legislative agendas, respectively, for your consideration and acceptance. So I'll start very quickly with a reminder of the process that we use to develop both agendas, and then we'll go through the federal agenda, then to the state. So we were here before you on November 7th in work session. Before that, we had issued a call out to all bureaus and offices starting in August on the state side and September on the federal side for soliciting legislative concepts. And we worked closely with liaisons, both in bureaus and council offices, to work through and vet those issues. Part of the vetting process also included outreach to our federal legislative delegation and our state legislators as well as a wide range of stakeholders. And through that process, we're looking for potential areas of alignment or flagging potential hurdles. So turning to the federal legislative agenda, this report is very similar to what you saw at the work session in November, but it's formatted. It's a little bit glossier than it was in November. And I think the mayor already walked through some of the priorities, but I'll reiterate them for council. Once again, the top priority is affordable housing, homeless assistance, mental health, and support services, all kind of packaged in one big omnibus priority. You also have response to the opioid crisis, immigration, investment in urban infrastructure, the Urban Area Security Initiative, which is also known as UASI, and then tax reform and Portland Harbor cleanup were two new additions to the priority list from the 2017 agenda because we use that as a baseline. 2017 was the first session of the 115th Congress. 2018 is the second session of the 115th Congress. That's why we built off of the 2017 legislative agenda. So, since November work session, I'll note the following changes that occurred. On page 3 of the agenda, you'll see the header of immigration. When we came before you in November, this was sanctuary cities. So we've broadened the direction of this priority, and now it includes references to comprehensive immigration reform, the DREAM Act, and guest worker program.
Elizabeth, could I interrupt you for one moment? I have to take care of a piece of homework here. Item 1346 is still open. It is the first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading. Sorry, continue.
Not a problem. Turning to page 4 and 5, that's where you'll find the tax reform priority. This has been and continues to be a moving target, and so it's been updated since we were before you during the work session. Added to this header, you have the private activity bonds, which we were just back in D.C. Talking with our congressional delegation about last week with Commissioner Udaly, as well as the historic tax credit program. We also have two additions under the federal policy positions. So on page 7, we now have supporting access to legal services per the recommendation of Commissioner Fish. And on page 9, there is the addition of human trafficking prevention and recovery. Both of those came up during the work session, and they've been added to reflect the comments of council. Those are all the changes from the version that you have before you in November. And I can pause here in case there are questions before moving on to the state side.
Just a couple of comments, if I could. So on Portland Harbor Superfund cleanup, on the off chance that it's not likely Congress is going to support the reinstatement of the Superfund tax, it is, though, our collective desire to make sure that Region 10 and the EPA have the resources they need to actually oversee all the 21 priority Superfund sites that they have identified and said they're going to move on. When the Mayor's Chief of Staff and I and others today met with Mr. Kelly, the Special Assistant to the Administrator Pruitt, the issue did come up around adequate resources to actually oversee implementation of our Superfund cleanup. And so is this broad enough so that it encompasses some kind of bipartisan effort to make sure that there is adequate resources at the region to implement the existing records of decision in those 21 Superfund sites? My guess is this is a bipartisan. My guess is our delegation would be supportive of making sure the region has those resources. So I just want to flag that because that was one of our three most pressing concerns, that they not that they do have adequate resources to implement the record of decision.
Thank you for the question. I believe that the item is broad enough, you know, and I think that for the record, Neil Stillstrom from the Office of Government Relations, we can, you know, we'd be happy to work directly with the delegation to formalize that in when it's time to make those appropriations requests for the 2019 funding?
Yeah, I mean, I know that Congressman Blumenauer has put in his bill again to reinstate the Superfund tax, but it seems like a tough, steep climb.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so just to make sure that where we may have an agreement here is adequate funding for Superfund, mm-hmm. and that may be something that our delegation, our two senators, may very well agree with that.
Great.
So thank you.
Welcome flag. Thank you.
Oh, the other thing I wanted to flag is at page 6, and I'm going to raise the same issue with our state agenda. In the Smart and Emerging Transportation Technology Regulation, it says that we will that federal regulation must not preempt cities' ability to put in place regulations. When I had the pleasure of being with a couple of you last time in D.C., what we heard on the radio and in the media in D.C. was that there was a bipartisan consensus around preempting us from doing exactly that. So do you have a sense of where that is?
So we are currently working with other interested parties, other cities, to work on what's called the AV START Act. It's a Senate bill to make sure that there is language that would not preempt, I mean, would block any preemption of federal laws. We had numerous calls over the last couple of days. There's actually a number of senators who have an interest in both that preemption and then also how it would impact the California air quality standards that we in this state rely on as well.
Good. It was alarming to me on our trip that there were these allies of Silicon Valley technology companies who were Democrats who were generally supportive of the idea of preempting cities like Portland from being able to regulate autonomous vehicles, and to me that would be a disaster. So thank you.
Thank you.
And Commissioner, I think that speaks to the value of having local government officials come back to D.C. and actually tell the on-the-ground story, because the 30,000-foot view might make a lot of sense when not faced with the other side of the story about what it's like to actually run and regulate city streets and the impact that it has on traffic safety and livability.
Thank you.
So with that, I will turn to the state legislative agenda, also formatted a little bit glossier than what you saw in November. This is actually, the content is very, very similar. For the upcoming short legislative session, the top priority continues to be affordable and stable housing. That's followed by a healthy environment, community livability and public health, and local funding and authority. So there are two changes since the work session. And it starts on page 2. There is a technical edit to the way that the description of the municipal bonding concept that was very minor. And then on page 4, the first subheading here under the community livability and public health priority has been the subheading and the concept description have been updated in order to more accurately reflect the desired policy outcome. So it's now entitled Remove Barriers to Coordinating Management of Public Spaces and Services. Before it had been framed up as more of a funding request, and it's through the vetting process has been determined to be strictly a policy ask. And those are the two changes from the work session draft. I would also note these the drafts have been up on our website for public review since we met in November. I think I neglected to say that earlier.
And what kind of feedback have you been getting?
It's been fairly quiet. Although we did have our the public input session before, shortly before the work session.
And the input from that went into setting the agenda?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Elizabeth, on page 5, under the sort of blanket opposition that we normally include to being preempted. The closest thing to TNCs that I see here is regulation of emerging technologies.
Mm-hmm.
But given our history with the TNCs seeking to explicitly preempt us from regulating them, is that would it be useful to be specific to TNCs, or do you view emerging technologies as being brought as encompassing TNCs?
So the language is crafted here to say emerging technologies because there's actually quite a bit of overlap when it comes to TNCs and autonomous vehicles. When you look at the fact that TNCs often own fleets and are looking at autonomous vehicles, and there's legislation on that side that impacts how we regulate TNCs.
But from your point of view, this language is intended to cover both autonomous vehicles and TNCs?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you.
Very good. Any further questions?
I'll briefly describe next steps, if that's...
Yeah, please.
All right, so next month we'll be back down in Salem for January organizational days. That's when bills will be introduced, and we anticipate likely about 260 bills for the 35-day session. After organizational days, we'll have 3 weeks before they actually gavel in for the start of session on February 5th. So in that three-week window, we'll be reviewing and analyzing the bulk of legislation for its impact on the city. Expect that we'll be reaching out to you and your bureaus for input during that window of time and going forward into the session. Also, before the start of session, we'll host our annual legislative breakfast and invite members of the Portland delegation to City Hall to discuss our agenda and look for areas of collaboration. Wanted to put a reminder out there that January 23rd is a special election. So less than 2 weeks before the start of the February session, we may find out whether we have a big hole in the state's budget outlook or not. So that's a large question mark. And then finally, looking nationally, also in January, which is going to be a very busy month, the U.S. Conference of Mayors will be convening, and we'll also be arranging meetings for the West Coast mayors to discuss areas of common interest and talk with our federal delegation as well. So I wanted to put that out there and also just say thank you. Thank you to you all for your help through this process. Thank you to the legislative liaisons. Thank you to my team for the long hours it took to put this together. We're really excited to help push this ambitious agenda on behalf of the city.
Commissioner Fritz.
Could you just remind or inform everybody watching at home, what are the rules for the short session of the Oregon legislature? What can each legislator do?
Absolutely. So for a short legislative session, it's constitutionally limited to 35 days. Based on chamber rules, the senators will get one bill apiece. House members will get two bills. Committees will get three. The governor and the judicial branch will each get five. You have a couple of committees that have an ability to introduce more, like the Ways and Means Committee. But those are the parameters, and that's how we calculated approximately 260 bills for the upcoming session. You also have chamber deadlines. So if I am a House bill, I need to move out of a House policy committee before the first chamber deadline. That's going to occur in less than 2 weeks, which means that you have a finite number of hearings in order to actually have your idea heard before a panel and then moved forward. Two, maybe three meetings. So it goes very, very fast. It is a sprint. That's the session
great.
In a nutshell.
Why do House representatives get two bills and senators get one? You would think it would be the other way around.
You would, because the House now ends up with four times the number of bills that the Senate does. My impression is that the Senate is trying to really restrict the scope of the short session. The House doesn't necessarily take the same perspective.
So they each get to set their own rules?
Correct.
I see. Thank you. And also just remind everybody, what's the balance of representation in the two houses?
One vote shy of a supermajority in both houses. So a supermajority is that threshold for revenue raising or tax increases. You're looking at a 17-13 split in the Senate and a 25-35 in the House.
With the Democrats having
Democrats
majorities in both houses. Thank
Correct.
You.
Yeah.
Colleagues, unless there's any other questions, I'll take a motion on the substitute for 1344.
So moved. Second.
We have an enthusiastic motion from Commissioner Udaly and a second from Commissioner Fritz. Please call the roll.
Udaly.
I have a toothache, Mayor. So I
forgive
my lack of enthusiasm.
Ah, yeah, I'm sorry to hear that.
Fritz.
Thank you to the Office of Government Relations, particularly Elizabeth Edwards, in your leadership of the Bureau after departure of Martha Pellegrino, which I know we're still all feeling. And thank you especially for continuing to work with Commissioner Daly and me on the legislative agenda setting forum that we hold for community members, because their input really does make a difference. And hopefully after this short session we can have maybe a community event after the session before the summer so that we can tell folks what happened and start a lot earlier in 2018, knowing that there'll be much more capacity for doing different things in the state house, in the state legislature at least, in 2019. So I'm delighted to continue to work with you. Aye.
Fish?
Mayor, is this on the substitute or on the final?
Substitute.
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The substitute is adopted to 1345. I'll accept a motion.
So moved.
Second.
A motion from Commissioner Fish, a second from Commissioner Fritz. Please call the roll.
Daily.
Well, I just want to thank Elizabeth and Government Relations for preparing me for a wonderful first trip to Washington, D.C. I managed to at least meet 6 out of 7 members of our congressional delegation and meet with 5 of them. And I wasn't sure what to expect or didn't necessarily even understand the importance of bringing the voice of Portlanders to D.C., and as it turned out, given the passage of the tax bills in the House and the Senate, it was quite timely, and our focus was primarily on the potential devastating impact on affordable housing development with the loss of private activity bonds and low-income housing tax credits. I don't think I have additional comments on the federal side, so I'll just say aye.
Fritz.
Well, I appreciate your ongoing connection of us with our federal delegation when they visit back in Oregon during the sessions and over the course of time, too. I feel like we have good relationships between members of the council and our delegation, and certainly that you and Vicky Cram represent us well in Washington, D.C. I very much appreciate the work you do. It must be quite it's hard to know what word to use at this point, but certainly challenging and disappointing and difficult to keep one's optimism, although there are occasional bright lights. So thank you very much. Aye.
Fish?
Now, I'm completely confused about what we're voting on. So I'm just going to assume I'm making comments about both agendas. And thank you for the good work you did in compiling the federal and state agenda. In the 9 years I've been on the council, we've had some tough years, lean years, where we've had big needs, but it's just politically been harder. Yet it seems to me we always outperform. And so even in these perilous times, hopefully we'll find agreement on some of the things that, at least in Washington, now the balance of power has shifted to 4 United States senators of the Republican Party. Let's hope that we can, you know, build some bipartisanship around some common sense things that we care about, housing, cleaning up the environment, brownfields, a number of these things. It appears that the deficit reduction is no longer an issue of concern in Washington, so we don't have to worry about that, which I guess means hopefully we don't have to do any offsets or anything new we want under the new rules, but who knows. But it is a pleasure to work with you and your team, and thank you for your good work, and let's go to it. Aye.
Wheeler.
Great report. We spent quite a while narrowing this down to a few issues, knowing that it's a sprint. The short session, 35 days, seems like a lot, but once you get to it, it's actually a blink of the eye. And I think we've picked appropriate strategies. I think we're continuing to put pressure on the right policy initiatives. And considering the list we started out with at our work sessions, I feel like collectively we've done an excellent job. I vote aye. The report's accepted. Thank you.